Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast sponsored by John Banks. For your next new used vehicle, visit johnbanks.co.uk. Stu, we're out on location this week. We're not in anybody's shower. There are no rooms free at our office, so we're at my house. Isn't this nice?
The hutch, we decided it was going to be called, didn't we?
Yep, this is the hutch. I'm just wearing my pants because I've just got out of bed, and here we are.
And I'm fine with that, and I might strip down and join you. thanks for having me, mate. First time I've been in your gaff. It's nice.
What do you think? Was it becoming of a man like me?
Absolutely. I'm currently... We're sat at your dining table.
From I can't remember, glass wells.
Solid
oak, this.
And you've got, I'm admiring, what do we call this in the middle? It's like a log burner.
Yep.
But it lives in like, in the bang in the middle of your front room. It's kind of a centrepiece, isn't it?
This used to be two rooms.
Okay.
This was a dining room. That was the lounge in the front. But previous owners have just knocked it through, so it's just a chimney in the middle of the room, which is fine. And that log burner is amazing in the winter.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm looking on your walls. You've got some artwork, some tube maps from various cities, I assume, you've been to. New York, Copenhagen, Tokyo. Very nice.
Yeah, they're not hung very well, are they? Look at the one on the left.
They're on the huh.
The one on the left,
people say, in these parts.
Yeah, is a bit lower than the other two.
I wouldn't have noticed that.
But they are.
That's all right.
I did that.
And I've seen your DIY disaster that you've mentioned in previous pods. Just glancing out into your kitchen, yeah, there is a faux drawer missing that sort of exposed the various pipework underneath your sink. That needs sorting out, doesn't it, mate?
I'm scared about this kitchen. We're getting it done soon, but I think it's going to need to be stripped back completely to the brick, and I'm very nervous about what is found behind there. Anyway, we saw each other a lot on Saturday. It's now Monday morning, and we spent 18 hours together on Saturday going to and from Wigan. Did you have a nice time?
Did I have a nice time? I was gutted by the late goal. I think I don't know if you saw, but I slumped forwards and involuntarily put head in hands when that goal went in. We'll get back to the football in a minute. Did I have a nice day? It was a long day. I was pretty sick of smooth radio by about 11 o'clock at night.
Smooth radio.
That's the station of choice in the Scarlet Lady.
Not our
station of choice. You're never more than three songs away from Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. and I like that song, but just there's a time and a place. What else is on smooth? What do we get on repeat?
There's Tina Turner on there. You'll get you some Whitney if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get basically the acoustic version of every major hip-hop song, but the original kind of 80s ballad that goes on in the background. So if we're talking Tupac, you're getting the original changes in the back in the background, which is fine, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's loud. But it was
a long day, but it would have been made an even... Well, the journey would have felt even longer, wouldn't it, for those 800 or so Town fans
there? Which is remarkable, isn't it?
Crazy. When I looked across to my left up there and I saw how many there were that had made that travel up to Lancashire for a team that's bottom, almost certainly going down, and the noise they made was great, and they were rewarded with a really good performance, a performance that was a mixture of good football up until the red card, and then... what fight after that with 10 men, and I thought they'd ridden that second half storm. Yes, they were under the cosh, but that's to be expected in the circumstances, and I thought they'd done enough. They defended like lions. When Bart makes that save in the 86th minute, yeah, from it was Nick Powell's header, actually, watching it back.
Was it? It
was Nick Powell, yeah. It's a downward header, bounces up, Bart claws it out the top corner, and you think, yeah, this is finally, this is our day. And what a different conversation we'd have been having sat here had that been 3 points. And we would really have been talking about, like, is there a chance? Can they do it? I think that's gone now, isn't it?
Yeah. What was it Lambert said in his post-match press conference? He came in. He was asked if this was like Mission Impossible. He said no, and he said it's game on. Imagine if they'd just won, and he came in. This is game on. Mm. That would have been incredible. That would be like beating your chest moment. Gap is cut to 7 points. Beat Reading 4 points. That's game on. Mm. But I'm afraid, I don't think it's game on. Just,
because beyond Reading, we've got West Brom and Bristol City both, yep, away within quick succession. I honestly think to stand any chance, and I think I've been saying this for quite a while reluctantly, that I think they weren't going to stay up. I think the Bristol City game was when I, in the back of my mind, thought the writing was on the wall, and then the Millwall game on New Year's Day was the moment that I kind of reluctantly conceded defeat, and I think the damage has been done, unfortunately. But there's a lot of performances lot of positives to take from these last three or four, yeah, games, isn't there?
Well, if this was December or January, early January, you would be thinking, goodness me, they could do this. It would still be the greatest escape in Championship history. But if they were playing like this and putting in these performances in December with that amount of time left, you would think that at the very least, they're going to take this to the wire, like the absolute wire, and then anything can happen there. But yeah, I think you're right. It's too late, but yeah, there are positives to take, and that's in terms of individuals and in terms of the team as well, and the way they're playing, backroom staff, and definitely the mood.
Yeah, yep. They've turned a corner. It was always going to take time with the 7 signings in January and Bishop coming back after injury, and it was always going to take time to get basically a new team up to speed in the middle of a season. I think January was pretty flat, but that was to be expected. February has been really good so far, but time is against them, time is an enemy, and I don't think realistically they were ever going to beat time.
But Lambert says you can't, individuals can't beat time, and nor can Norcombe football teams.
Yeah, but it needed to be done. It needed some sort of spark mid-season to make everyone feel better about themselves. And the thing for me now is that these short-term signings, yes, there's a bigger debate about, you know, so many of these may now leave in the summer, but it's made everyone feel better about things. It's helped Lambert really work on an identity and a style of play. And hopefully now, some of the youngsters, some of the Hurst signings can kind of be slowly reintegrated and they can build their confidence up again. You know, Nolan, we've already seen, I think, has started to re-find his feet again. Maybe in a strange way, the Keane injury could play into their hands because, A, they might have a better chance of signing him now because he's been playing really well, and had he done that all the way through, then he'd have almost certainly gone elsewhere. And B, it might just open the door for Jackson or Harrison if he can get fit to get themselves going.
Keane's an interesting one, isn't he? Because that was his third goal in 8 games, and this sums up his career to date. He's not scored more than 3 goals for any team in his entire career, which is remarkable, really, that he's managed to do that in 8 games for Ipswich. But we like what we've seen of him, haven't we? I think he makes the Ipswich team look better.
Yeah.
When he's on the pitch, he's kind of got a little bit of everything about him, I think, and he's a proper focal point in every sense, really.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, he's been really good. I think we'll probably get on to the subject of who they may or may not be able to keep later on, but of the January recruits, him and Judge have been the standout ones without doubt, and it's typical that it's had to be him that pulled up with a hamstring injury. Ridiculous injury list, you know. I think back to the successful time under Mick McCarthy finishing sixth. I don't think they had an injury of note that season. I think McGoldrick would have been the one. Was that around the time of the Southampton Cup games? And Evans referred to that in his piece recently. But in general, they were pretty injury-free for a time. And now, you know, the last couple of years from Hughes, Adeyemi, Bishop, Dizelle, Tommy Smith, even Andre Dizelle, and now this year with Sears and Ward, it's just
even ridiculous. smaller little. They've happened at really awkward times as well. Even thinking back to September when Ellis Harrison was kind of starting to hit a bit of a stride, he suddenly goes down in training. Cole Skews, he's hitting his stride, goes down in training. Yeah,
this Collins, is Collins and Chambers.
Yep. Dean Gherkin had a sore one. But this is what happens with teams when they have nightmare seasons, isn't it? It just all adds up to you concede last minute goals to former players that were sold on deadline day, and it's just you lose leads at home to Bristol City and Millwall. It's just a nightmare.
It just feels like everything's been against them, and we're not sitting here, to be clear, saying that Ipswich are where they are because of bad luck, because of referees, because of injuries. They're there because they've conceded too many goals and not scored enough goals and shot themselves in the foot too many times, etc., etc. But it certainly felt like fate has given them a good kicking while they're down at times, hasn't it?
You know what I didn't mention at the start of this?
What's that?
The fact that it's just me and you. Mark's not here, is he? And do you know why he's not here? Because he's in the Maldives.
Yeah. I saw he tweeted over the weekend about no finer place to be than the Suffolk coast, and I liked your reply that said perhaps you don't need to go to the Maldives next week. It's a good point.
Just stay in Aldborough or Southwold, it's just as good.
Yeah.
Be nice though, Maldives.
Yeah, the gaffer's off for a couple of weeks now, so just while the cat's away.
What are we going to get up to while he's
away?
That's
why we're here. Just do what we want now.
Yeah, just work from this palace, do whatever.
Yeah.
He's not here, but I would like to ask an Andy's big question in his honour, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
I'd expect nothing less.
Okay.
Andy's big question.
Question.
Mark's in the Maldives, where he is going to be swimming with and fighting sharks and all kinds of things. I want to know where your best holiday was, Stu. Where's the best place on earth? Don't say Southwold.
That's two different questions there, isn't it?
Let's ask the second one. Where's the best place on earth?
Where's the best place on earth? Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I've been to the best place on earth.
Where's the best place that you've been to on earth?
Okay. I've had some good trips around the States. We've gone and done before we became parents and we could actually plan holidays that we wanted to do. Some nice little road trips around New England and also sort of California and
nice
places like that. They were good fun.
Did you go in the fall to New England?
That was the plan. Yeah, we went for our honeymoon there, and but we probably went a little bit too early. The trees weren't quite out in their full colour, but still good.
Still be fun though. Yeah.
What about you? You've travelled, boy.
Oh, I've travelled, boy. My safe place is the old harbour in Reykjavik, Iceland. If anything really bad happened to me in life, that is where I'd go to escape, and I'd eat whale and puffin and...
Like Herman Hyrideson.
Just like him.
Is it Herman that ate all that sort of
probably
stuff?
He was Icelandic and still is. But yeah, amazing place. Don't eat a thing called hakal, though.
Right.
Because hakal is fermented shark, which they bury in the ground until it's rotten and then eat it. And that's not nice. And I
think you tried it.
Yeah,
did you know what it was?
Yeah, yeah. We knew. We had our eyes open going in, but it is the most putrid, rancid, disgusting thing that I've ever eaten in my life. It was horrible, obviously, because they've let the shark go rotten in the ground. Mm. Not good. They serve it with a liquor called Brenovin, which is equally as bad. It's like paint stripper. It's disgusting.
That sounds horrific.
Yeah, I don't know why they do it. But whale, though, I could not give... And it's very sustainable in Iceland. They very much... It's very much sustainably done. There's proper quotas that they stick to. So good, though. A whale steak.
Yeah?
Best steak ever.
Nice.
Doesn't taste of fish.
On the... Talking about the trips that I had, we did a bit of whale spotting, so I can't condone the eating of whale. Majestic creatures. We went to a place called Provincetown, which is at the very tip of Cape Cod, if you can picture the bit that sort of loops out there. As I say, on our honeymoon, turns out that's like one of the gay capitals of the world.
Yes.
So that was slightly odd. We just went there for the whale spotting. Yeah, that's been a highlight of things that I've done.
Mark's probably going to listen to this, isn't he, in the Maldives, I'd imagine.
He said he would.
Will he, though?
He shouldn't.
No, he really shouldn't. He really shouldn't, but I reckon he probably will.
Well, I want to know the furthest that people are listening to this, because we did the Blue Monday thing, didn't we, last weekend, or whenever it was, and we met a guy who was over from Sydney.
He was from Woodbridge, wasn't he? But he's lived in Sydney.
We've got a few listeners in America, haven't we? Daryl, of course, in Florida. There was
friend of the show.
Yeah. When are we announcing friend of the show list?
When Mark's back.
Okay.
It's there now. It's rubber stamped. Mark needs to be back for it. But there are five members enshrined as friends of the show.
And then there was another guy from New York who we met. That blows my mind that there's people currently listening.
Well, I'll do this now because I've got my laptop in front of me. If you get our nerdy podcast analytics up, it gives you a little breakdown. I don't know how accurate it is, but it gives you a little breakdown of where people are listening to it. And quite heavy in the Suffolk area, which I believe. Top cities, if we're going cities in this country, we've got London, Ipswich. 4.3% of our listenership live in Coventry.
Shout out to the Coventry crew.
Yep. Colchester, 3.2% in Norwich.
Norwich.
Who's listening to this in Norwich? It's probably our overlords from our...
Of course it will be, yeah.
Cambridge, Bristol, Nottingham and Bluffton, which I've never heard of.
Where's Bluffton? Google Bluffton.
Bluffton,
1.2%.
If you're from Bluffton, get in touch. South Carolina...
Excellent.
Is there a Bluffton in the UK? No. Bluffton, North Carolina.
If you're listening from Bluffton, please do get in touch.
And then if you go on countries, we're 85% UK, 3.7% US. Then we've got UAE, Australia, Ireland, Spain, Norway, Germany, France and Denmark on our list. Keep going.
Scandi vibes.
0.1% in the Bahamas. And big shout out to the 0.1% of our listeners in Iceland. Hope you're okay this fine morning. That was interesting, wasn't it?
That was good. we got sidetracked.
Yeah, that's fine. Is there any more football we need to talk about?
Should we get onto mailbag? Because I think there's a few questions relating to the game.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go through the mailbag.
Do you want me to... I'll do this, because you often read out questions...
Have you got it there?
Yeah, I think so. All right. Dead air is bad air, as Mark would say. I'll start. Any truth in the rumours that Alan Judge is currently in talks to sign a new deal? Andrew Warren.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't, because talks don't mean he's going to sign it, but... I imagine they've been talking to him about this option that's in his contract almost since the moment that they signed him. That's the whole point of it. That there was a report saying in The Sun over the weekend from a journalist who scatterguns, let's just say a little bit, that Bolton will be interested. But I was thinking about this, but on the face of it, does Alan Judge want to move to Bolton? Probably not. But Bolton are kind of subject of a takeover at the moment. There's talk of a takeover involving Mark Warburton, who was his Brentford manager. Might be something in that. I don't know. But
I'm pretty sure that Ipswich and Bolton are going down.
Yeah.
So then it becomes, so league status isn't an issue. It then becomes money. Length of contract might come into it for Alan Judge as well. The security of something a bit longer at the age of 30 with his injury problems of the past as well. Ipswich is obviously a 12-month option. If someone else comes in with two, maybe more years, maybe Ipswich would have to look at trying to match that. Do Ipswich want to take that risk, having given out a long-term contract to Emir Hughes, and that's not worked out too well for them? And can they afford to keep giving out longer term deals to players that have got these injury backgrounds? But they've got to try and do everything they can to keep him, haven't they? Because he's been outstanding.
He's clearly enjoying himself. You can just see that he's enjoying himself on the pitch. I think the fans have taken to him, as we've said so many times. The chance to be the focal point of any football team doesn't come along for players very often, particularly ones that have been out injured so long, missed so much football. A lot of footballers will tell you that they just want to play. I believe him. Sometimes, you know, some players in the past have said that and then done things that make you think, actually,
yeah,
you're not really practicing what you've preached there. But with him,
well, you don't know what you've got till it's gone, and he's gone through that process now. And I think, you know, having experienced the pain of being out and not played a lot of football, you know, I think it will go beyond money. It may even go beyond geography in terms of, you know, what step he takes next in his career. He's talked about moving his family across from London if all goes well and everything. So he's clearly come here with an open mind to staying. So my gut feeling is, I think they can get it done.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Will this podcast be in your shower? Asked Mr. McBear. Mr. G.
Mr. G.
In keeping with previous pods.
We're not currently in the shower. You've been in my bathroom. It is quite small. But we could go up there later if you want. If we need to finish off in there.
Don't say it like that. Okay. I'll pass on that. The previous question was from Jack Phillips, by the way. I just thought I'd name check everybody. Moving on from shower talk, Dominic Dean, do we plan for League One now?
I think they already are in many ways. I don't see how, you know, Lambert and the players, they're always going to tell you that they're fighting to the bitter end, but it would be incredibly naive if Swiss Town weren't. Didn't have eyes on League One
I think they have been probably from January, really. The type of signings that have been made have probably been with one eye on short-termism and one eye on the medium term. And Lambert's kind of said that himself, hasn't he, in terms of we've got a kind of plan for both. Craig says, should Evans be busting a gut to sign Keane and Judge, brackets possibly Bree, when we go on our League One tour?
League One tour. That's the optimistic side of that. Judge, yes. Busting a gut. Keane, I think Will Keane, if you can keep him fit, would be an excellent League One striker. We've talked about that, haven't we? That the issues there. Fitness is an issue. James Bree,
I think.
It'd be brilliant if they could, but
for the first time in a long time, they look like they've got a proper right back in James Bree. I thought after a understandably low key debut, he's grown and grown with each game. Looks like the player that Villa spent £3 million to sign from Barnsley. Right wing back, he was exceptional in those first 25 minutes. Just everything seemed to go through him down the right. But unfortunately, I don't think they've got any chance of keeping him. He's made it plainly clear that he intends to go back and fight for his place at Villa, and rightly so. So
Alan Hutton's 35 at Villa. They're going to need, you know, they need younger legs at right back as well. Sadly,
I wonder if there comes a stage, you know, perhaps when it's mathematically done and dusted for Ipswich, that, you know, there are decisions to be made in terms of, do you keep playing someone like James Bree, as good as he's been, and start looking at Josh Emmanuel and seeing what he can do, and likewise with other positions across the pitch. There'll be decisions to make in that respect, won't there?
Yeah, we're going to get a look at Josh Emmanuel this afternoon, Stu. We're going up to watch the under-23s, aren't we, after this, and he will play. He'll play right back. Looks like Toto and Ciala's playing as well as Andre Dazel, so that'll be... they're always worth a watch, those under-23 games. So, you know, the manager is clear in the fact that he won't make first-team-based decisions based on what he sees on there. But it is fascinating to watch players kind of in that environment just playing a completely different game, it seems, at times in a windy field on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Jack Slada.
The chef.
McLean Jack.
Yeah, met him at the Blue Monday event.
Yeah?
Yeah, very briefly, yep.
He says, if Alan Judge was a dish, what dish would he be? This is Jack's thing in terms of questions, isn't it? We've had one of these before.
I've got an answer for this.
Go on.
Alan Judge would be a giant meatball. And the reason Alan Judge would be a giant meatball is because I've found that kind of thing, more often than not, appears on a specials menu, which is only valid for a short length of time. But I really like giant meatballs, and I wish that...
Just like one giant meatball? I don't even know,
it doesn't have to be one massive meatball, but it could be like three meatballs in a really nice tomato sauce with some chilli in there. Right. Like we had at the Christmas...
What's it accompanied by? Has it got...
It's got some bread with it. It's a starter.
Right.
But it's on the specials menu, and specials menus only exist for a few weeks at a time. They change regularly.
So you're saying... But Judge is gone.
No. What I'm saying is I really like giant meatballs and I wish they were on more main menus and available all year round, just like Alan Judge, who's currently on the specials menu, but I want to see him on the main menu. And that does sometimes happen. A success on the specials menu will become a regular menu staple, and that's Alan Judge.
For me, he's fajitas.
Yeah?
Because... When you find out you're having fajitas for dinner, or you've decided you're having fajitas, it's the mini fist pump thing, isn't it? There's excitement when you're having fajitas, and they can be there. It's an exciting meal, but it also can be a staple of your week, and there's a bit of spice in there, but it's reliable as well. It's consistent.
How spicy are you on your fajitas?
There's an argument in our house. Mrs. Watson always says you've put the whole spice packet in.
Of course you have.
And I go, well, so I lie obviously and say no, I only did half. She's like, no, she knows every time. If I ever try and sneak in extra herbs and spices and condiments, she knows straight away. Yeah, fajitas you've
got to
go full packet, haven't you? What's the point,
boys? Yeah, full packet. You got your. You know what I really like with fajitas now? Not your flour wrap. I like a corn wrap.
That's more an enchilada.
Well, that is if you then cook it, if you then roll it and bake it, friend, with a tomato sauce on the top. That's your enchilada.
Yeah.
Deep fry it. You got chimichanga. Roll it. You got a burrito.
Different Mexican for different needs.
Yeah, I want to go to Mexico. That's on the list.
On the subject of food, Matt Swords, good name.
Is that really his? That's a great last name.
Swords, yeah. How was the big porker at the weekend? Question one.
Should we take these one at a time?
Confession.
You bottled it.
I did bottle the big porker. Because when I said that I was going to have one, I hadn't really considered the fact that we were leaving at 8 in the morning and we would be at the OK Diner at 10 in the morning, and that didn't feel like a 10 o'clock meal.
It is available though at that time, crucially.
Oh, you can still get them.
Yeah, bottled it though, didn't you?
I did bottle it, and but you bottled a milkshake because you got in the car at 8 in the morning and you said, I fancy a milkshake today, I'm going to get one. And then when we pulled up, you
didn't get one.
You did not get one.
Crucially, though, we did get them at 10 o'clock at night at Peterborough Services, and that was entirely unnecessary. Yeah. That was such a bad decision.
10 p.m. chocolate milkshakes.
You wouldn't do that anywhere else. If you were at home, you wouldn't just be like, right, I'm considering going to bed soon. I'm just going to
quickly
bosh off a milkshake.
Yeah.
Brush my teeth, go to bed.
Yeah, probably wouldn't even brush my teeth. Just climb into bed.
Disgusting.
Second part of Matt's question is, how bad is Keane's injury and how big a blow would it be if to our medium long term survival chances? Well, We don't know.
Has survival been put in in any kind of inverted commas?
Good. In fact, Dan Cutmore has replied to that, saying survival chances, ! I think
we're all trying to keep an open mind, aren't we?
But we don't know how bad it is, and might they have a better chance of keeping him?
Quite possibly.
In a strange way. Could it be a little blessing in disguise? It sounds a really weird thing to say, but had he carried on playing the way he is, then there would have been a load of Championship clubs circling, but that might just put a little bit of doubt in others' minds.
People look at... You could look at it in different ways, can't you? Nice. I've just seen what the next question is coming up. That's a nice one.
Go on then, you take it.
I've got more to say about Will Keane.
Sorry, friend.
People might look at it and think, oh, he's a striker that's suffered with injuries and has now suffered another injury, which, you know, it is what it is. If signing him through this will be a risk because he hasn't been able to play regularly, but like you say, it might root out a bit of the competition, and if he's clearly enjoying his football as well, so you never know. He would be, if he's fit, he'd be an excellent League One striker though.
Yeah, agreed.
Right, should we read out a couple of these? Harvey Davis, he may or may not be appearing on the Friend of the Show list when it's released. May or may not. He may or may not. How good is it to see Bart looking back to his old self? If the rumours are true that he's our highest earner and relegation is looking a certainty, is it likely that we will cash in on the Bart man?
Part one, Bart back at his best. I'm not convinced he is back at his best. He made a good save towards the end, good reaction save. But there was a long old conversation with Luke Chambers just prior to half time, and still as they left the field at half time. We don't know for certain, but it looked to me like it was the captain talking to his goalkeeper about communication issues 1 week on from the Stoke calamity involving Jonas Knudsen, and there was another little moment of a shall I, shan't I come off my line, and I think Luke was kind of saying to him, look, you need to be loud, you need to command your area a little bit more. That seemed to be the conversation from afar.
That's not a new conversation. There's a lot of chat goes on in the axis of Bart, Chambers and Knudsen over the years. There's some quite frank conversations have gone on the pitch in that time. But that isn't one of Bart's strengths, though, is it?
No. I don't know if you can say he's been back to his best. It's not been a great season for him, has it? He's been in and out of the side. I don't think he's finally put to bed the form issues. You know, it was only a week ago since the goal involving Knudsen.
His handling's better, I think. He had handling issues earlier in the season as well, most notably at Forest. But there were a few others where he wasn't holding things, and I think that's improved. But he's not the Bart that was winning games on his own, essentially, for Ipswich. But do they cash in if League One? And what market is there for him in the summer?
What were we talking about? We were talking about this in the car on the way home.
Three million.
When we were talking about potentially going, we compared the goalkeeper market of sort of good Championship goalkeepers of his age were going for around £3 million. Well, you're not going to get that for him now. What do you get for him in League One? You know, suddenly you're not in the position of strength over that. Clubs know that you need to get him off your wage bill or want to get off your wage bill, and the price drops accordingly. So, will he be the bit top earner? Every chance, even with a significant wage cut clause in his contract, which they've all got. One thing's for sure, I don't think you need to carry two senior goalkeepers on senior wages going into League One. I think that money can be spent better elsewhere. Gherkin's out of contract with one of those options, so what they do with Gherkin, I think, will tell us an awful lot about their plans for Bart.
There's things you could do for a second goalkeeper, isn't there? There's obviously Harry Wright is the third in line at the moment, or you see a lot of League One teams having goalkeepers on loan from higher up the pyramid. This old friend. Richard asks if we will both be employed when we're playing League One football. He's just looking out for us, which we appreciate.
I don't know. That's one for the gaffer when he gets back, I guess.
Well, if he's going off on holidays to the Maldives,
mm.
I think that he should be looking out for his staff members. I hope that we're both kept on.
I hope so.
I really hope so as well, for various reasons. My wife hopes so. She did ask me this question the other day, but I kind of think that she would quite like me to stop. It's a very strange question. I think she'd quite like me to stop doing this job, and is also concerned that actually just stopping having a job would be bad.
Yeah, so, still mortgages to
pay. Yeah, so I'm not sure.
Mouths to feed.
Hopefully. We have fun, don't we?
Yeah, I don't wish to tempt fate, but I think we'll be okay. I've got it.
Have you got a relegation release clause or wage drop clause in your contract?
I'll need to get my agent to go through the small print on that one.
Is that Mike?
Yeah, Mike Bacon, yeah.
He calls fajitas fajitis.
Fajitis, he does, yeah.
I like that. Ian Davis asks, what I've offered you in terms of a breakfast. Is it croissants, a more European style, or crumpets, a more traditional English method? Tea or coffee? What if Stuart refuses to be subbed? We'll talk about that. That's quite interesting.
Who's this? Jamie? Who's asking that
Ian.
Question? Ian. Sorry, Ian. Andy has offered me nothing.
Untrue, my friend. Come on, don't play Mr. Funny for the podcast I offered you.
Have a glass of water.
It's a nice glass.
I was when we first floated this idea on Saturday, come over to my gaff, I might even do you some breakfast. So he's got me there, I'm in. What time? Pull up this morning. Thought I was going to be greeted by some cooked breakfast aromas wafting in from the...
You had breakfast?
You talk a good game about, the cooking of eggs and various things, but I'm not seeing any evidence.
Have you had breakfast?
I have had breakfast,
okay, I'll do you an egg after we're done.
I'm looking at your bookshelf, sorry to get distracted, and some old VHSs.
Yep.
I've
tried to give them away to people.
Ipswich Town 97, 98 we've got on there. What else have we got? 94, 95.
That's a cracker, that.
Yeah.
If you want to watch a...
Do you ever want to watch back the review of 94, 95? Is that relegation?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got your 9-0 on there. You've got all sorts. So that is a cracker. Royals Revolution.
We should watch that back in a bit and just to compare it to...
Have you got a VHS
player? To current day. No, I don't think anyone's got a VHS
player. I don't know how we can watch them. But, I've tried to give them away. There were a couple of takers, but they're still
here. And we'll sign them for you, anyone who wants them.
Well, if anyone wants them, what have we got? We've got 94, 95. We've got 96, 97... Royals Revolution 02-03, the 99-2000 season, which is a belter. That is a cracker. 97-98 and 98-99. So if George Burley is your bag...
So that's peak fandom for you, is it? Around that sort of era?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, you've got... I think you've got every one of... Is that every one of George Burley's seasons in there? Yeah. Apart from... I have actually got the relegation... The Premier League season and the relegation somewhere on DVD, actually. So, available. Yeah, but if you want the VHS, they're yours.
Are they all wound back to the start?
Probably not. Let's have a look.
While you do that, I'll dip back into the mailbag.
First one. Yes, it is wound back to the start. Look at that.
Good.
Look at that label.
You get told off if you ever gave it back to the video shop and it wasn't wound back.
Look at that, man. This is a VH. I haven't held one of these for so long. I used to watch these.
I know. It's mad how big that is. Give it a little shake for audio purposes. There you go.
Look at that. Hit us with a
Jamie question. Newson, how many of the players we currently have that Lambert got in will be here next year? More than likely in League One. So of Lambert signings, who will stay?
Talking about Judge and Keane, aren't we? Of Lambert signings.
Elder, no. Dawkins, no. Who else have we got?
Bree, we've talked about. Bree, no. Quainer, absolutely not. And then it's Collins, which...
James Collins.
Talking about this a month ago, we'd have said, yeah, he was talking the right game, wasn't he? Yep. League position isn't important to me. I want to play. He's a 35-year-old who's struggled with injuries, and he's missed a month of football now with an injury.
This is the risk versus reward situation, and the budget will be tighter next year. And do you try and get if you're going to get players of that ilk, they're going to come with some sort of risk attached to them. You're getting them for a reason. And have Ipswich had their fingers burnt too many times with injury-prone players now? Johnny Williams, Emir Hughes, the list goes on. I think they'd have to take all of that into the equation, don't they?
I think Ian who asked about croissants and stuff, there was an actual question on the end of of his question. We got too caught up in tea, coffee and crumpets.
Real question, are we going down or staying up?
I think they're going down.
Me too. What grounds in League One are you looking forward to?
We started talking about this in the car, didn't we, the other day. There aren't many new ones for us in there, which is a shame.
No.
And the new ones, the ones that I haven't been to, are quite a long way away in terms of distance, like Fleetwood, etc. I really enjoy going to Bristol Rovers. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I really enjoy going to it. It's a good vibe there.
Paint the picture. It's like a rugby ground. That's what it looks like to me.
It used to be where Bristol Rugby play, but they've moved to Ashton Gate now. It's kind of you're going on. It's off like a dirt track off of a main road through Bristol, and then you get there and the stand kind of stretches between the edge of the two penalty boxes, the two main stands. Behind the goals there's some tented stands, and then the main stand where the dugouts are across the way. But there's a good vibe there. I think a lot of the Bristol Rugby crowd are Bristol Rovers fans. I think that's how it works, and you can tell.
Yeah.
Much cider is drunk. I think the fans will enjoy that one.
Yeah, that'll be good. Roots Hall, South End, I think will be a good atmosphere.
I hope it's not midweek though. Midweek, I find Roots Hall really hard to work at because you're behind that in that really small little glass box, and it steams up.
Yeah,
and this because of all the hot air that is chatted in there and breathed. Yeah, you have to get a squeegee thing out to keep clearing the glass, and it's really annoying.
Yeah. Peterborough, going back to Peterborough, we can finally put to bed the 7-1. Have they played at Peterborough since then, London Road?
They've done pre-season there. They did the mad 2-hour-long games, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think in a league game, so...
Yeah, so there's some closer ones, isn't there? There's a real mix between miles away and, you know, you've then got... Well, Luton probably will get promoted, but let's have a look at the table there.
Shall I read them out and you hit me when you hear one that gets you going?
On.
Luton, Barnsley, Sunderland, Portsmouth, Charlton, Doncaster.
All right, stop there. The top three, well, Luton are probably going to go up. It would have been nice to keep them just because that was up the road. But Barnsley and Sunderland, they can go up.
For various reasons, that would be great. Nobody needs to go to Oakwell again. And Sunderland going up is good because I think a second season down there, they would really get things going.
Yeah, agreed. So Portsmouth... Fratton Park, I quite like that. It is for an overused word, but proper. I remember going there when they were kind of on their slide down through the divisions, and they made a hell of a racket there that day. We were still in the press room 2 hours after the final whistle, and they were still bouncing around. I like going to Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. Charlton just down the road. Yeah. Doncaster's not too far away. Peterborough likewise. Then we've got Fleetwood and Blackpool, which I can't say I'll be overly looking forward to those trips.
Coventry, goodness knows where they're actually going to be playing, if they're even in the league at all. They could be playing in a park, or Northampton, or maybe on the moon, actually. We were talking about playing
because,
on the moon.
Well, rules state it has to be in Coventry.
How were they allowed to play in Northampton for a year?
Well, they've changed it now, I think, because of all this stuff with MK and all that sort of stuff now. So I believe so. I saw that on social media the other day.
We're talking Coventry Rugby Club then. The Butts Park Arena, which I would hazard a guess that you haven't been to. But I have.
I've never visited Butts Park.
Yeah. Do you want to have a little look at Butts Park? Butts Park, Coventry.
I'm not saying that's wrong. It's just not what I'm into.
There you go. That's your Butts Park.
Good.
Looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Very flat. What else we got? Burton. I'll post a picture of Butts Park Arena later. Burton, we've been there, haven't we? Wickham. Wickham's quite nice. It's like in the causeway.
Yeah, it's kind of like down in a little valley surrounded by trees.
Southend, we've discussed. Plymouth is a long way from home. Accrington, good vibe, long way.
Yeah.
Scunthorpe. very cold.
That being if you're on the film time.
You've not been?
No. Nope.
It's quite small, but quite nice. It was like the original out-of-town new ground, okay. Like, but it doesn't look new anymore. It's made of corrugated iron. Gillingham gives me vertigo because the press box is like a vertical drop. Walsall is all right. Very close to the pitch there. Big. It's quite nice, actually. I quite like going to Walsall.
They've got one massive stand at Walsall, yeah, haven't they?
You can see it from the M6. Quite nice. Shrewsbury.
That's new for me.
Yep. Shame that there's going to be no Paul Hurst involved in that game in any way whatsoever. But if
never say never.
Oxford. You'll like Oxford. There's a stand missing. And it's great. Because you can see the car park and a car gets hit by a ball, guaranteed, every game.
That sounds fun.
And then we're into the relegation places, which is Bristol Rovers, Rochdale, Bradford and Wimbledon. Very sad. I want to go to Wimbledon.
Mm.
Yeah. It'll be all right.
Mixed bag there.
Yeah.
Will it be a League One tour? Or how extended is that tour? That's the concern.
Is it still a tour if you do it twice?
Well, we were looking nostalgically through some of our earlier reporting seasons of covering Colchester and Swindon respectively. And I looked back when I was doing Colchester and Sheffield Wednesday were finished 12th or 14th or something in League One in one of those seasons. And Leeds were down there for a little while, and Sheffield clubs. I'm not sure it's the walk in the park that some people might think.
No,
it would be.
It's certainly no sure thing. Last season, all three relegated teams came back, and that was the first time that's happened in a very long time. Mm. So it's not certainly not a walk in the park. Have we got any more mailbag? We've just rambled through a league table.
Yeah.
We should probably wrap up soon because we've got another podcast to record later, which we can have a quick chat about.
Right. Heaven's Knight JT says, "Hi Andy, looking forward to the pod as usual. Questions: What are your feelings on the 3-5-2, and do we think Knudsen will be in or out come May? Latter part, he'll be out.
Come May, very much, but there's an argument. There's a chat to be had about whether that is it.
Full stop, yeah. Mistake against Stoke. Silly red card. Whether it was a red or not by the letter of the law is up for debate, but he didn't really need to give the referee a decision to make, did he? He's put his team in a bit of a hole there. He'll be suspended for the Reading game. If they don't win that one, and it's almost, you know, the writing will then very much be on the wall, then there's an argument to be made. If they're not playing 3-5-2, and we'll come back to that, you know, you're better off playing Kenlock at left back and developing him, aren't you, over Knudsen?
Yep, I think so. We'll talk about Reading in a minute, but that is very much the last chance saloon, isn't it? We'll have a quick chat about that before we go. But the 3-5-2, it was working really well. It was Ipswich were dominating that game until they lost their man. It was getting the fullbacks on they had the right fullbacks on the pitch for it because they were getting higher up the pitch. I think if you were playing, even maybe Knudsen at left back, he might not have been as involved, but it was mainly coming down the right, wasn't it, with a proper right back who's confident in going forward, and that's why Lambert wants these full backs.
I think that formation was a little bit out of necessity. I think the thought process for Lambert would have been, is today the right day for the diamond? I think he'll have looked at the way Wigan had played really well against a Stoke diamond the previous week. Stoke had to kind of abandon that diamond mid-game. Then Stoke come to Ipswich and really utilise their width, with Ince and McLean getting a lot of joy against a fairly narrow midfield. So all of that would have gone into the mix. Do I want to play diamond? No. So what do I play next? Then he probably looks at his squad and thinks, I haven't really got a lot of wing options here. Gwion Edwards, who's playing catch-up a little bit in terms of fitness. Beyond that, there's not a lot else, is there? Dawkins, who we've not seen a lot of. So I think he's probably weighed all of that up and thought, personnel suits wing-backs here. And they didn't look like a team that were playing it for the first time. They looked pretty well drilled in it. And, it was still a pretty positive midfield. It still allowed you to have two up front. And Bree and Kenlock looked probably more suited to being wing-backs rather than full-backs. Yeah. So... I don't know whether that was just a temporary measure for that game or whether we'll be back to the diamond.
It's nice to see a bit of tactical flexibility and it working. Not always the case, is it? Mm-hmm. There's one question that's just popped up on the mailbag that I really like, and I want you to answer this for us, Stu. Connor Wilgrave asks, how many pound coins does it take to fill an empty crisp packet? And I, for one, need to know the answer to that question.
Yeah, well, let's try it. Have you got enough pound coins knocking about?
I could raid my daughter's piggy bank from upstairs. The more problematic thing is the crisp packet, actually. I don't know if I could produce a crisp packet right now from anywhere in this house.
I think we'll get more prepared and we'll do that. We'll do that on the next one.
We're going to look like right players, though, aren't we, with all our money? Just slapping our money out on the table during a podcast.
Yeah.
How many are you going to get? How many pound coins are you going to get to even begin that?
We'll put some thought into this and get prepared.
Nice one. I bet you all can't wait for that. are there any more football-related ones, or should we wrap this show up, Stu?
Yeah, Alex Ventham asks, should Knudsen play for Ipswich again? We've kind of covered that. Will he and should he are probably two different questions. I wouldn't be saying he should never play for Ipswich again based on a couple of errors. But
it's not what you say, it's the way you say it, isn't it, with that particular statement?
Yeah.
He should never play for Ipswich again.
Yeah.
Or he should probably look at some other options. Mm. The thinking man's approach. Who knows?
Mm.
Should we wrap
that's
things
it,
up?
That's it, mate, yeah, because we've got to go. And should we tell people what we're doing now?
Yeah, go on then. Where are we going?
We're off to Playford Road, which is a skip and a hop from the Hutch. We're up that end of town, and we're going to sit down and record a special podcast with Mr. Lee O'Neill, General Manager, Football Operations. Why is there no "of" in that title?
I think we need to put the "of" in.
He's General Manager of Football Operations.
Yeah.
So first, that will be first point of interest to discuss that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, looking forward to finding out a little bit more about Lee and his journey to this point.
Yep, that one, we'll probably put that one out later in the week, won't we? But yeah, should we get going?
Yeah.
We need to get in the new Stu-mobile. Obviously, if you need a new, used or new car, visit johnbanks.co.uk. And remember, if you buy a car from there, you're instantly in the Kings of Anglia Hall of Fame,
We haven't even got a Friends of the Show list, and you would immediately leapfrog that into the Hall of Fame. All we need is a picture of you on the forecourt, shaking hands with John Banks. Is John Banks a person? I assume.
I'm going to assume that he's.
Yeah. We need you shaking hands, handing over the keys, and we will need some sort of proof of purchase as well.
Do you get a receipt for a new car? I can't remember the last time we bought one. Do you get a receipt for a car?
I don't know. Yeah, you will.
If you do, I want to see it.
Yeah. So that would be good. That would almost certainly, I think, secure both of our services for League One. If we can prove that people are buying cars from our sponsors,
then
we'll be okay.
Very true. So if anybody is concerned about us, just go and buy yourself a brand new Honda, Suzuki, Renault. They'll do you. I think that's the way to do it. Big thanks to our sponsors, johnbanks.co.uk. Big thanks to you for coming round to my house, Stu. It's been lovely. Maybe we'll do it again sometime in the shower. Maybe we won't. Lee O'Neill podcast, drop that later in the week, and we'll be back with another one of Just Us next week. See you later.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.